Good morning, church. I think it was quite a number of years ago when my daughters were 6 and 3, respectively, that Kelly and I tried to figure out in preparation for Christmas that was just around the corner, what were we going to give our girls to like really make the holiday? We put our brains together and we figured out as the holiday approached that, hey, we were going to go out and buy them puppies because they had been asking for them for some time. So we did. A couple days prior to Christmas, we got these little tiny puppies. I mean, they were cotton balls, barely with their eyes open. I got a couple of the guys that housed together to graciously open their home and care for these pups so that I could keep the element of surprise. And following the Christmas Eve service here, I went over to their house, hung out for a while until about 3 a.m., and then took the puppies into the house, snuck them into a big box, and put them under the tree, right? Stayed awake as long as I could, calming them and stuff like that, and then went to bed knowing that I'd probably get about an hour of sleep before the girls would discover this. And sure enough, 6 a.m., right, hun? The girls come squealing up the stairwell to confirm the fact that we did good. Like, we got him a really great gift. Daddy, 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 daddy. We got puppies. I mean, think about it. How fun on Christmas morning, right? Best thing we did for our family. Maybe not the best gift that we thought about, because how do you top that the next year? But think about this. Now, the surprise for me 3 weeks ago when I was preparing for a memorial service here in this room, we had a dignitary in San Dimas pass away, and so the room was filled with lots of folks in the politics of San Dimas, that I get this text message from my oldest daughter, now back from college on a brief vacation. She and my wife are out at a pet store and pretty excited about, again, experience this puppy life. So I get this text, Dad, can we get them? Well, think about the moment. I'm about to step into this thing. So I'm like, well, I tell you what, send me pictures and we'll talk about it later. Memorial service carries on. I go over to Costco, pick up some things, and I get home. And Kelly offers, hey, can I help you unload the car? And I think, oh, sure. Wait a minute. Descending the stairwell as I walked in was my daughter, ear-to-ear grin, bearing this little puppy in her arms. She even invited a guest, so I didn't react. So, So for the last 3 weeks, we've had this new gift in our home. It's a gift that keeps giving. I know this because I find presents everywhere. But puppies were one of the best gifts that we could have given our family. Now, in light of our conversation this morning, I've been thinking about gifts. And God's word to us that, hey, you who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more is our Father in heaven able to give good gifts to us? The parallel verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 13 is, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Hey, I gotta believe that a church that right now in its mission statement says, transform us by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, love others, do good, that God's gonna show up and answer that request. That some way, somehow, in the workings of this room, that God is going to bring his gifts to bear in a way that this church becomes an impact player for the kingdom. That our good heavenly Father will give us the resources we need to live into that. And that ought to ring out amen from every one of us. We've been in this series called, So Here's the Thing. And it's really intending to kind of do some straight talking about what it is to be the church, what it is to be followers of Jesus. And we've intended to call out some elephants in the room. And as I talk about spiritual gifts, allow me to call out this elephant. In the westernized approach to church, we kind of have this system where you all come in this passive posture and you listen to the whoever speaking up front, and that's where the activity's happening, and we get to sit in chairs or pews and watch the thing occur. In old churches, they had at least the uncomfortable chairs that would like seat you for about 20 minutes. You know the 20-minute chairs, the little metal things? But now we've got comfortable ones, right? Now we can sit and blab on and on for some time and we're good. We're good. Just continue on. You're good, right? And I wonder if in the westernized model of the church, if that's what God intended. I wonder if the passivity that engenders is God's best. I wonder if the church that he described as the entity that was so powerful, so influential, so strong that the very gates of hell wouldn't stand against it, if that lives it out. Or if there's a different way. And I gotta believe for New Song Church at this station we live in preparation for a new lead pastor, if we shouldn't do some straight talk about mobilizing the church in light of God's gifts about us, gifts within us, gifts working through us, so that we see the very full intentions of what God has to accomplish if we actively respond. Our God is a good God. God gives us gifts. Right here in this room, look eyeball to eyeball, right here, God equips us to do what he intends to get done if we respond to what he's doing. And I want to be one that answers that call, discovers the gift, unleashes the gift, and find out what God has for us. Are you with me? Ready to do some work? God teaches us about gifts in four key passages. We're going to look at all four today. The first is 1 Peter. 1 Peter reads this, each of you, who's excluded in that? Not a one of us. Everyone in the room. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Every one of us is called to steward that in service to others. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. All God's people said, that's every one of us. It's each of us. If I'm called to play the bass, I do that as though unto the Lord with the power of God working through me. Whatever capacity I'm living in, I'm to steward in a way that gives God glory. See, God gives us gifts so that his name is praised. And we need to understand that in this matter and discussion regarding spiritual gifts. See, God could have created the thing where he did all the work. But scripture says that every one of us is powerfully, wonderfully, fearfully made. And that God infuses into us unique gifts. And if we steward those in a way that glorifies God, serves others, but does so with the intent that God be praised, then we're stewarding gifts aright. That's why you often hear me say that God would get the glory he alone deserves. I pray to God that as we're talking about gifts, we get that the very giving of them is that God would receive glory. The Westminster Catechism tells us the end of man, the primary reason or purpose why we're even created, is that we would live life in such a way, we would steward our very lives in such a way that God gets glory. And I wanna live this life to the full. I wanna see my purpose realized. I wanna live it in a way that God gets the glory that he alone deserves. Are you with me? There's a second passage, Ephesians chapter 4. It reads, but to each one of us, who's excluded? Not a one. Each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every part of us, every one of us, each of us is the idea here. And the Ephesian word is talking about spiritual gifts in the context of community, and that the purpose of those is to strengthen, to build up, to edify, to mature each one of us. God gives us gifts to mature us. And now I want us to realize that, because I think in the misstewardship or the understewardship of gifts, we're caught at an immature place. So scripture has much to say about eating baby food, right? and that you're growing up, you're ready for solid food, you should engage the word more so that you grow up and mature. I think that the complexities of this world, that the challenges that the church lives within, that we need to be mature so as to have a sophisticated and rightful response and influence in the world today. Now, this baby food says just apple, kiwi, and spinach. That's really terrible. So anyway, they sneak it in there, spinach. The kid needs spinach. Let's give it with good stuff. Okay, so have you ever seen a kid eat this too? Anyway, some preachers are good enough that even in the passivity of a church life and the spoon feeding that goes on, sometimes they'll sneak in a good word. But I don't think that's the full of what Paul's getting at in the Ephesian charge. See, in Ephesians, he's calling them out. He's saying each one of you is actually gifted. And the person matures in the balance or the experience or the engagement with the fullness of those gifts. Think about it. If we reduce the Christian journey to passivity, to sitting in comfortable church chairs, listening to the guy up front, even opening the word of God and learning from a knowledge base, is that the fullness of what God intends? Does that produce the very maturity that will be required of us to give a sophisticated response in the world in which we live? I don't think so. I think God gives us gifts, unique, diverse, all around us. And actually in the experience of all of those, collectively, we get built up, strengthened, edified, matured to be able to journey this with Jesus. And the absence of a single ounce of that, we somehow miss out. Are you with me? God gives us gifts to mature us. He carries on an expression, Paul writing to the Roman church now about this matter of spiritual gifts. And in Romans chapter 12, he teaches us this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In this posture, in the sacrificial posture, offer yourselves. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, its way of thinking, its way of living, its way of engaging, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, is there anyone in the room excluded from the statement? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, clear-mindedness. Think plainly about this. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, there's a lot of us in this room right now, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. You belong to me, I belong to you. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouragement, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Like every one of us has something to offer and give one another. Every one of us can ward off from conforming to the ways of the world, its thinking, even in the stewardship of our gifts. I want to be one found stewarding those gifts in the way God intends. And the way God intends is that we understand from whom they come. And in the economy of God, the gifts that he gives from our good Father are from him. He gives us gifts. They're from him. Now, I say that realizing that we kind of have this ineffective or misunderstanding, a mistheology of gifts. Here's what I mean by that. Say that you come up to a successful entrepreneur, and you ask that person, how'd you get to be so successful? And their response to you is, I'm just very gifted. The laughter in the room, the discomfort with arrogant? much, okay, right? Say we say to another entrepreneur, successful also, hey, how did you get to where you got? And they say to us, man, it's just, listen, I'm not much. I just was a lot of hard work. Which appears more arrogant to us? Now think about that in the context of a church. Similarly, a young aspiring teacher sees a gifted teacher from the platform speaking to thousands, gifted of God, anointed of God, preaching in a way that something's happening, stirred by that. So the young teacher goes up to the accomplished teacher and says, hey, how'd you get to where, like, doing what you're doing? And the teacher comes back and says, listen, it's been a lot of hard work and a lot of effort on my part, and I'm nothing special. It just is what it is. Think about the response of that. That word in a true Christian understanding of the gifts that we bear from God is indefensible because it plays off of a mantra that your success is by works, not by gifts, so that no one can boast. But that mantra, my friend, is a mantra of the world, not the gospel. The gospel says it differently. You're saved by grace through faith so that no one can boast. Like everything that we've got is given as a gift of God, not by works. Now, scripture isn't opposed to stewardship, proper stewardship. It's not opposed to hard work. It is, however, opposed to striving. It is, however, opposed to our taking claim of what is God's alone and somehow discounting the gifts that he's given, gifts that would bring him glory, gifts that strengthen the church, and assuming that I did what I did by my effort and my hard work. Because somehow we rob God of his glory and we take that glory for ourselves. Do you see where I'm getting at? Every one of us in this room is gifted by God for his glory. Would you do this? Would you turn to someone next to you and say, you're gifted? Come on, affirmation in the room. Your chance. You're gifted. Now respond. Thank you, I am. Thank you, I am, okay? No, really, thank you, I am. Oh, maybe a better response is this. Thank you. God's given me a gift. As unworthy as I am, he's blessed me with a gift to steward, to invest for his purposes, and to the measure I do, the church will be strengthened, the church will be matured, and God will get glory for it. That, my friend, is more true to the gospel message and Paul's teaching regarding gifts than our understanding, our Americanized understanding, the society that pronounces the individual effort, the plays to our pride, our arrogance, our want to work out our own salvation by our own strength and contribute to it somehow. These are a gift from our good Father, and they ought to be received and stewarded that way. Okay? Now, Paul continues in probably his most lengthy description of this matter of spiritual gifts, too important for the church to understand. So when speaking to the Corinthian church, he describes it in great detail. Now, the Corinthians are great, right? They do church messy. There was all kinds of problems in the church. It's kind of like our church today. But anyway, so he just goes direct on this and describes similarly this matter of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches this. Now to each one, again, who's excluded? This is every one of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are at work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one as he determines. It's a gift from God for his glory. He gives them, distributing them about by his choice, just as he determines. Now you are the body of Christ, he says later on in verse 27, and each one of you is a part of that. See, God gives gifts to weave us together, to strengthen us, to grow us. Next slide. He gives gifts for us to give to one another that each would be built up for the common good. And if somehow we get that wrong, if somehow we discount what God's been given us, we don't steward it for the benefit and growth of one another, and then we miss out on what God intends in this room, that we would experience relationship like he himself enjoys in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because in the exchange of giftedness between us, in relationship between us, I get to taste the eternal. Because you're hardwired by God different than me and I different than you. And when we exchange, there's something tasted of God in that exchange. I don't want to miss out. So I made a declaration for us. You allow me to do it? A declaration of interdependence. I need you, you need me, we need each other. We hold these truths to be biblically evident. That all Christ followers are created purposefully, that they're endowed by their creator with certain spiritual gifts, the purpose of which are to live life to the full, to have liberty from sin, and to pursue dikaiosune, okay, that was a throwout for last service, righteousness that extends beyond even religious types. Glory be to God, amen? Interdependence. Can I declare it for our church that I need you and you need me, and in the stewardship of our hardwiring, we're able to call out blind spots for one another so that we're built up, strengthened. We're not walking blindly into circumstances on our weaknesses, but because you care about me, you're willing to call out where I am weak so that I don't trip and fall and lead someone astray. So that for you, you don't get off into the weeds somewhere, because we stand for each other, we care about each other, and we bring to the table who we are so that we can call the best out from one another. I was grateful that last week, right in this room, we had that after service meeting, that when we gathered over here for prayer, we were praying about the incoming lead pastor and about this transitional season of our church. And my bias, my default position is I'm kind of the eternal optimist, right? Faith. Man, this is going to be good. Kind of a futuristic thing. I'm excited. But just before I got to utter my prayer with some level of enthusiasm that would have been insensitive to others, I was grateful for in the room was Marianne, gifted by God in empathy beyond my own. Like, she sees things I don't see. And her prayer was, God, this has really been hard for some of us. And I was so grateful for her strengths different than my own. So I didn't stumble into the mess I was about to create. Well, I got to contribute mine too. And in balance to hers, that was really good. We walked away, both of us, stronger as a result. But I was grateful for that moment, because she didn't hold back, and neither did I. And we strengthened one another. And I got to wonder in this room, if there's some of us that sit a little bit quiet with our gift. Like, we hear the words of interconnection or interdependence even, but kind of we've been holding out because the seats are really comfortable. And I'm really tired and stretched by my day. And the guy's blabbing on and on anyway. He's probably got plenty to say more, so I don't have to do much. And the efforts of the church then are retarded as a result, because they're not fully equipped with the maturing benefit of the fullness of God's gifts in the room. May we not be that church. That is so important for Paul. He continues on. He says this, even so, the body's not made up of a talking pastor at a pulpit, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not that guy, I don't belong to the body, how many of us in the room has discounted our contribution because I can't do whatever, I can't teach like John Selbach, you know? So I don't have anything to contribute. How many of us have discounted our contribution that way? It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Like, just because you discount it doesn't mean that you don't count in God's economy, doesn't mean that you're not important, because you are. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. He created you exactly how he wanted you to be, with purpose and meaning and cause, beautifully and wonderfully and fearfully made. And he doesn't want you sitting sidelined. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. God has put the whole body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Like, see, you matter to me, I matter to you. Like, anything that goes on in my life should count to you. And similarly, yours to me. In that interdependence, every one of us in the room is vital. God gives us gifts vitally. I want you to hear that. Because a lot of us in this room won't ever get up and pick an instrument up and lead us in worship. Not a lot of us will get up and blab on from the pulpit, thank goodness. But every one of us in the room, created and wired, hardwired as we are, has something to give. And this body is strengthened up as we steward it aright and we invest it into one another and we see the maturity of God prevail because we're willing to go the distance and honoring it as a gift and giving him glory as we do. Every one of us plays a vital role in this church. You know what this pillow is? This is the pillow my dad was given when he had triple bypass surgery. And I'm thankful to God that there are people in this room wired of God as intercessors who didn't hold back from stewarding their gifts on behalf of my dad, because I wouldn't have a testimony today if they did. The encouragement that my family received, my dad died twice in the process. They revived him, and now he was here first service. I'm trying to spit this out and preaching to my dad right here, going, I'm holding the pillow that was for him, like they cracked his rib to perform surgery, right? So he holds on to this so he doesn't bust the stitches out as he's coughing and breathing in the recuperation process. But my dad is alive today because some of you understood the notion that when one part of the body suffers, every one of us are involved. And you won't hold back, shy back, but live out faithfully your call of God to contribute because we're strengthened as a result. That becomes a testimony of our church when we live that way together. You know what happened at the time of my dad's going through this process? Justin Davis similarly experienced the loss of his dad. You know what that did to my heart? One part rejoices, we all do, and one part suffers, we all do. I feel eternally bonded to Justin because of what we walked through together, what we experienced in a church surrounding us as we all stewarded our gifts to one another aright. And I don't want us to lose an ounce on the eternal, what God intends. If you're sitting sidelined in the stewardship of your gifts, sit idle no longer. The church isn't passive. The church is active. Every one of us plays a vital role. We're all called of God to be present to one another, called of God to care for one another, called of God to live it out. And I pray to God we don't live less than that. You are indispensable in God's purpose and plan. You hear that? That's Paul's call out. If I can speak to you as a former lead pastor of this church, one of the things that in my era that I wrestled with is the responsibilities borne by this post. As I would approach the pulpit of this church, as I would make staffing decisions, as I would lead the elders, that's a lot of responsibility and spread. And we're at a station where we're about to call the next lead pastor in. Our hope is February. Pray with us on that. But here's the real concern. We, years ago, invested into really comfortable chairs. None of those 20-minute ones. I would hate to see the impact potential of this church reduced because we got the new guy in and we finally said, ah, the answer's here. Now we can relax. Get comfortable. Sit back. When we do that, we don't understand our position, our giftedness, our wiring to steward for the purposes of God in this place. And I want to call us out. Because it's really in the stewardship aright of those things that we live out our purpose. That we find fulfillment, this life that Jesus came, that we might experience to the full. Somehow, some way, we won't do that if we don't fully bring to bear what it is that he's given us to steward for his cause. And I want it to be said of this church that we live it differently. That we go the distance and we care for one another and we're seeing it played out in such a way that the vibrancy of this place, the love in this room becomes a testimony to the community around us. Man, I want what they have there. Because somehow they're experiencing the things of God. Paul actually camps this conversation of gifts, not just in chapter 12, but really chapter 12, 13, and 14. In fact, all of his addresses of the gifts are ridden with this understanding that the church is a body, the church is together. When we ask of gifts of God, our good Father, that he gives them, and he gives them for the strengthening so that the church can be this prevailing agent. And as he continues, he makes the point that not only God gives us vitally, but that God would give us the resources that we need to live out what he intends us to live. And so in chapter 14 of that Corinthian text, he gives out this detailed instruction. How do you steward gifts in the way of church so that the whole body is benefited, so that the thing is edified and strengthened, built up? And that we can actually live this type of life that plugs into the resources of God, the very spirit-driven resources of God, so that what gets experienced is no less than that which is empowered by God. How many of you want to live life that way? I was leading one of my young adult college guys group this week on Wednesday morning, bright and early, 7:30. They're learning accountability by crashing in each other's homes just so they can get there in the morning. But the question arose, how do we experience God in a more vibrant way? The question a lot of us have, right? I mean, I wanted it so badly at one point for a men's retreat. I made these little braces that say, I want to see God. Do you want to see God? You know when I seen God most? It's when I put myself out there in a moment of risk. And that which was I was about to engage for God's purposes, man, I would utterly fail. I'd fall flat on my face if it wasn't for God showing up. But I was willing to put myself out there. And when he did masterfully. He proved that he cared. And he would bring resources, gifts to bear in that moment. And we've seen healings in this place. We've seen people turn to God that were far from God. We've seen no less than miracles occur. And even the transformation of a life over time is no less a miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. We've seen people's lives turn from sin and cycles of sin or encumbrances and live life to the full because we were willing to go the distance with one another. And I want to live life that way, plugged into God, ready, excited about what he has. It was a high school ministry trip that I had participated down in Venezuela that I saw very clearly in the team members, these gifts. You could call them out. One person gifted with leadership, one person gifted with administration, one with hospitality, one with evangelism. You know what God did on that trip? We went to a tiny barrio community, poor people living up in the hills above the city of Caracas, and we lived out gifts to such a matter and to such an extent that the village came out to see what was up. Many received Christ. We actually were there to build a water tank to provide running water for the first time for 15 homes. Well, we built it big enough. It provided for 24 families. And not only that, it became the baptismal for people that were turning their lives to Jesus and getting baptized in the thing. Yeah, they drink it afterwards. Don't think about it. But anyway, the point is, God was on the move. He'd woven our team so closely together that we saw gifts in play. You know, one of the clearest moments where I've seen the gift of the speaking of tongues of men was in Keith Turner on that trip. Keith came. He had some background in Spanish, but he never understood the Caracan Venezuelan culture nor the language of this particular barrio community. You know what God did on that trip? He supernaturally empowered Keith, the utterances of this people, so much so that he connected with a very hardened soul. And I know that and can speak to that because the fruit that came as a result of that message turned a village to Christ. Unbelievable. Marked us, ruined us. Now we want so much the purposes of God, the power of God working on us. In fact, we have to steward our journey with Jesus differently as a result. Keith and his wife, Susan, met up with Kelly and I some time ago, and they were talking about, hey, we've looked for it, longed for it. We just haven't found that measure of spiritual activity at hand. And so they're kind of picking up the roots. They just recently relocated to Spain because they know that in that risky place where they're putting everything on the line, they all of a sudden are put in a place where they need to depend on God. And they're going with anticipation that God's going to do great things. You know what my anticipation is? God's going to do great things. My anticipation for our church is that to the measure we steward gifts aright, that God's going to do great things in and through us. We get to live life plugged in. We get to see his resources at hand. Let's steward him with that type of understanding and posture. Let me give you some risk challenges. One is embrace the gifts that God's given to you. Would you do this? Would you hold out your hands in a posture of receiving? It's one of the primary postures of a believer, a Christ follower. Sometimes we want to take the matters into our own hands and work our way out, right? But it's this notion that everything we've received from God. Paul corrected this among the Corinthian believers when he says, you know what, why do you've received everything you have. Why do you boast as though you did not, as though you produced it with your own? Everything we have, we receive as a gift. Every one of us in this room is gifted by God. Let's understand that together. If you want to do some work on understanding yours, I foremost would encourage you, find some people who know you well. Ask them, how do you see me hardwired for God? How do you see me gifted for his kingdom? Hear what they say. Discern that. If you need a practical help, we have some inventories, spiritual gift inventories. I'd love to avail those to you. It's one tool that you can use to kind of gain some clarity here so you can embrace what God's given you to steward. Next one is to leverage that gift for the benefit of others. Hey, it is the most selfish posture we could take to hold that to our own and to not share that with one another. It's not God's intent for gifts. God gives gifts so that we strengthen and build each other up. So stewarding them in a way that invests into one another, that those around me can be strengthened. Look around the room. We've got a church that can be impact players for Christ as we steward our gifts to help each other. Let's steward our gifts that way. The final one is this. As we do that, let's appreciate the gifts of others. As we receive from others, let's take opportunity to call it out, to note it, to thank them for that. Thank you for stewarding your gift. I'm stronger as a result. And I appreciate that. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of the living God, a living, loving Heavenly Father, you give us gifts, and you give us those gifts intentionally to steward in a way that would build up and strengthen the church. God, I pray that we do it. I pray that we help each other, and I pray that we're more effective as a result, that we get to live life plugged in, that you inspire something within us to engage life differently so that we can live it to the full. You want us to do nothing but that. Anything less is a diminished life experience. You want us to live life to the full. God, would you help us do that faithfully as we steward your gifts? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, talking about passages that say each one of you, I'd be remiss not to give you an opportunity to respond. So we've got two mics up here. And if you would like to ask a question or wrestle through something that just got shared or something that you're thinking about with spiritual gifts, I invite you to come to the mic and maybe verbalize that question on behalf of others. If you're not comfortable doing that, because some of us are hardwired differently, that's fine. I invite you to email and we will get a response to you. But we'd like to grow and to learn and to strengthen from one another. This is part of our liturgy to do so. So if you have a question, I invite you to ask it.
Hi, my name's Jesse. Where does prophecy fit in a new song? Like for those of us that have a sense of hearing from the Lord, maybe for a specific person,
yeah,
or for the church. How do we do that on a Sunday morning? If we feel led by the Spirit, to say something, or we want to share something with a congregation, or maybe even, I don't know, just what does that look like to be moved by the Spirit on a Sunday morning when it can get messy? And yeah. Our church isn't messy. We're yeah. very organized.
So one of my prayers going into this service is, God, would you allow something to happen that isn't on the schedule? Do you ever pray a prayer like that? It's kind of a risky prayer. So, yeah. Hey, Paul goes into great detail in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians to talk about orderly worship. See, the giving of the gifts, stewarded in an orderly way, would help benefit the whole. Like, there would be strengthening and edification. And in the stewardship of every gift, whether on a Sunday morning or elsewhere, needs to be managed, stewarded in this way, so that in one anothering, we all benefit. So let's take the gift of prophecy. That's when actually Paul calls out pretty readily. Prophecy often expresses itself in preaching. Sometimes it'll express itself in a word that's given from a mic stand that's given in a room. Some of you are uncomfortable with this. But we've given that as a space to be able to engage God, because we don't want to miss an ounce of what God is speaking through the church and enlivening the church to really be such. That's happened there. Another way that's happened at New Song, we've had people approach an elder or a pastor or someone that's in charge of a service to say, hey, I feel like this prompting, may I share it? And 9.9 time, and I don't know when we said no, but we've offered that at the closing statement. You've seen people come up to me, hey, can I share this? So I'll bring a person up with me to close out a service with a word, because we don't want to miss out what God has. Elsewhere in the church, because I believe that the church isn't reduced to just Sunday morning, we've actually had a prophetic team. And the gift of prophecy calls out, right? It's foretelling, but forthtelling also. Forthtelling truths, insight by God to better the ministry. And that team has really managed, grown together in their gifts and sharpening one another. But they had a direct line to me when I served as lead, but into the leadership of this church to help guide the church with promptings from God. I love when we recognize that God wants to speak into our body and we know how to engage that. We're better for it when that happens. So thank you for asking that. And people have asked that about gifts too. I believe in the perpetuity of gifts. I believe in speaking in tongues. I think that they're intended for the building up and strengthening the body. That's the information given in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul doesn't shy back, neither should we. But he gives some clear instruction on how that's stewarded. And we have folks that operate in various gifts, signed gifts that might not be evident in the working out of our process on a Sunday morning, our worship service on a Sunday morning. But those gifts, when delivered aright, when interpreted, when they're given for the strengthening, I've seen those at work in our body, in various small groups, even in the context of this room, certainly on our missions trips, and they've been powerful. So thank you.
Hi. So I just wanted to thank you for your word, interdependence. I'm currently going to Life Pacific College, and one of my favorite courses has been spiritual gifts and evangelism. And it's just been really powerful discovering how we can use our gifts for the betterance of the kingdom. And it's not something that is just exclusively, oh, my gift is. It's God has gifted me with. Yeah. And so it's really powerful to hear this talked about elsewhere too.
Right on.
So, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. May that encourage all of us. We're interdependent. He hardwired you for me and me for you, intentionally. Pray we don't forget that. Hey, ours is an active response. Every one of us in this room is wired differently. God gives us the Holy Spirit, but in its creative and different expressions, we live out the fullness of what God intends. Every one of us in the room is vital to what God wants to accomplish. And I don't know about you, but I want to embrace and understand everything that he has for us. Because I don't want to be immature. And nasty stuff. I want to be one that eats solid food. Understanding that no less than what's from the very hand of God will build us up, strengthen us, and give us capacity to accomplish what he intends. Let's live life that way. Amen? Amen. And let's worship him like we believe it.
So we're going to sing a song.